Welcome to episode 19 of Croc Talks. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Croc Talks. It has been a while, but this is your host, Hayden Wolf. Back with another episode. Sorry about the last month. You're going to hear about why it's been so long, basically, in this episode. Quick life updates. I'm now going back to school. I now have a new job. My wife got a promotion at her job. Life is going good, but a lot of outside life forces that aren't part of our everyday normal life has made the last month or so pretty dang difficult. And you're going to hear a lot about that in this episode where I'm talking to my buddy Kenny Wong. He's a graphic designer. He works for Crew, a college ministry thing. You'll hear him explain that a little bit better than I will. He's originally from Northern California. He's now an Orange County guy with us. But he's went through a lot of similar things like we did in the last couple months. So just wanted to talk and have a pretty intense, pretty deep, very life-giving, but interesting to talk about conversation, kind of just processing death, life, love, all these different things. So I really enjoyed this conversation. It's good to get back in the podcast game. I'm a little rusty, but I appreciate the patience for new episodes. So thank you so much. Enjoy this episode with Kenny Wong.
Peace.
Man, it's probably been 2 or 3 months since I've recorded one.
It's been a while.
I mean, it's been a month since I've released one, and that one that I recorded was a long time before.
The people have wanted it.
It's weird. I've gotten 2 text messages about, where's the Croc Talks, man?
Yeah.
Where's my drug? Everyone's addicted to Croc Talks.
They need it.
Wow, so I'm a little out of practice, and the last couple ones I've done have been over phone. So this has been, I've done 17 episodes, and I think 3 have been in person.
Oh, okay.
Maybe only 2. It's weird.
Great.
Isn't it weird? Well, when we were here, I didn't have any friends. So I didn't know a single person out here.
It's true. But it's like, with technology now,
it doesn't make much of a difference. It's honestly easier for me to record when it's not close, because I don't have to worry about microphone placement and getting that set up and that set up.
The setup was something. Before this.
Yes. Yeah. It's a little bit of a pain in the butt. But I mean, I don't have as much like audio delay or things like that. Like the most previous episode I did, literally we had an hour and a half of setup from Skype because my computer wasn't working and hers wasn't working. And then we had different ideas of the one that
we
were starting.
You get some sponsors.
Yeah.
Everyone out there.
Yeah.
Find Croc Talk some sponsors.
All 54, 55 listeners that we have.
Quality.
Yeah. Quality. So I'll have an intro, obviously, but I'm talking to my buddy Kenny Wong. Kenny, say hello.
That's right. What up? What's up, bro?
Say, what's your catchphrase?
Oh, I don't even know. I did notice that when I listened to Croc Talks.
Yeah.
You ended with peace.
I don't know how that happened. It just happened.
I was like,
naturally.
Well,
I don't really like it, but that's what I've done.
You gotta keep with it.
You should have seen me trying to brainstorm things the same. Like, I'm gonna say like
later.
Like, keep on. This is when I was almost going to say keep on crocking in the free world. That was going to be my,
No,
I would legitimately, that was bad. I'm glad I didn't go that way. The piece is much simpler
this
and
is good.
Just what it is. It's just very natural. It's just what came out of my mouth. Recording intros, recording podcasts, weird. Recording intros by yourself.
That's
weird
true.
As hell, man. Like trying to like listen back and be like, that sounds cool.
Yeah,
or like,
I'm
not dumb sounding or like way too enthusiastic, like chill out or like, it's hard to find the middle between that.
Does Megan ever filter through it? Do you like, is she a part
she
of
helps,
the,
she helps, okay. What's the word I'm looking for? Edit it. Like I'll help her do a lot of the main editing by myself, like the actual podcast, but the intro and stuff like that, I'll have her listen.
Okay.
Or she'll be sitting next to me and she'll just like shake her head and be like, or I'll record one and she'll be like, that's great. And I'm like, no, it's bad. And I'll delete it and I'll just keep doing that over and over and over. So Kenny is my 32-year-old friend.
Guys.
Just kidding.
Your audience is actually going to think.
I know. They're going to think, oh, so that 32-year-old guy was really good.
Wow. He's not that knowledgeable
20,
for being 32.
Yeah, you think he'd be more, like, has accomplished more by 32.
It's true. It is true.
Kenny's 25.
Yes.
Kenny's originally born in Sacramento?
No. Grew up in the Bay. Lived in Sacramento for 9 years, and then now I'm here in Southern California. Who would have thought?
Yeah. So how long have you lived here now?
I'm going to say 3 months.
It's really only been that long?
It's only been 3 months.
So I met you right then.
Yeah.
Like right when you first moved
like
here?
Like literally, it was like 2 weeks when we met.
Yeah, it must have been.
Yeah.
That's weird,
man. Which is kind of crazy.
I know, I because like... for 9 months I had no friends. Now I have one.
Yeah. You have more. Come on.
I have one-ish.
But no, yeah, that's, it's been cool.
That's very crazy. Kind of. Why'd you move down here?
My job. So I work with college students.
Okay.
For an organization that's kind of nation worldwide. And so I'm working down at UC Irvine. And yeah, I think I was working with this organization. It's called Crew. And yeah, I got it placed down here. And I think a lot of people were like, oh, lucky you. Like, you get to go to Southern California. But I think for me, it was just like this scary kind of unknown zone because California is just so big. It's like growing up in NorCal, Southern California was, it was a vacation spot. It was never like plausible to like, hey, move down unless you went to college down here. Mm-hmm. And that was not my case.
Well, the thing that's funny is like, because I grew up in a place where there was no vacation spots in Ohio. You had to get out of Ohio to go do a thing. Yeah. Like when I thought like, we're going to move to California, that like, summed up nothing. Yeah. Like there's so much
until we got out here. Have like a big amusement park.
We have we have Cedar Point.
Yeah, Cedar Point. I've heard of Cedar
I guess
Point.
That's it. Yeah, that's the main thing you might go. But it's in Sandusky, Ohio, which has nothing besides Cedar Point. Like that is the only thing.
Oh, okay.
I've never gone to Sandusky, not to Cedar Point. Is how I put it.
So it lives up to its name.
Yeah, okay. There's like one thing. You get one thing per part of Ohio, and that basically covers it.
Yeah,
but. Yeah, I didn't know anything about California until we got here. So I guess I wouldn't even think much. I'm like, oh, you live in Sacramento, now you live in Santa Ana. What difference would it be?
Yeah.
Like in my mind, because I don't know Sacramento, I'm like, why? What could be that different?
A lot.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, what's
I
like...
I think just the culture, the people. I think economics are different for sure. I've even seen Sacramento change the time I was there.
Okay.
And so even going back home to the Bay Area.
But you went to school there too, right?
Yeah. So went to school, worked there. And then, but even going back home to like the Bay Area, completely different, mm-hmm. Demographically, economically with the Silicon Valley, just booming.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Facebook and stuff like that. Like it's crazy. And so I think just across the board, seeing a lot of things develop has been cool.
Were you not born in Sacramento then? Is Sacramento not the Bay Area? I don't really know California.
Oh, yeah.
So Bay Area is different than Sacramento.
So Sacramento
different than-
is like 2 hours north of the Bay Area.
Bay Area meaning like San Francisco.
Like San Francisco, Oakland, okay. Berkeley, San Jose.
It's north of it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I always have thought of it north, but it's kind of like northeast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's the capital of California.
Yeah, but that's true, but nobody goes there.
Yeah. But I mean, I think the people have, I think anywhere I go, the people make it worth it, you know? And so the people in Sacramento made it harder to leave. Not necessarily, because like there's cool things to do down here, but I think it was like the community.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's hard to leave Ohio, but it's not like there's not things, tourist things or visiting things or monuments that you want to see. Like it's just people and family. And,
yeah.
That's the main thing you'll miss for sure.
That's true. That is true. Yeah. Family, friends.
So, but you go all the time. You're going to be back there again this weekend.
I know.
You're there all the freaking time. Since I met you 3 months ago, you've been in San Francisco.
It's
50% of the weekend.
It's very true.
Or Sacramento.
Yes, the frequent. Yes.
Because what do you? Because you didn't. Because you moved down here for work. But what do you do exactly? Like, what's your job? Because you do a couple different things, right?
Yeah. I mean, when my side job is freelance graphic design and photography, and so shoot weddings with other photographers or my own clients. And then, so that brings me back to a lot of places, Santa Barbara, Sacramento, San Francisco. But my actual job is, we're a Christian organization, and so we work with college students to help them, one, to be a spiritual resource for people that are basically growing up, like college-age students are, I mean, I remember my first year in college, it's like, I'm just trying to survive out here. You know, like, how do I do this? You know, like
you
lived with your parents and they were kind of structuring everything for your life. And then you're supposed to grow up in a matter of a week.
A week. Yeah. You're supposed to decide. Start, okay. Now decide everything you're going to do for the rest of your life.
Exactly.
Have fun.
Yeah,
also,
yeah.
Here's $100,000 of debt.
Exactly. Like, it's like, you're paying for this. Good luck.
I hope you pick the right thing. Bye.
Yeah. And so, I mean,
yes. Being there
So yes, being there for college students and like seeing just some awesome stuff happen in my own life and then in other college students' lives. So that's kind of why I've jumped on this.
What has your family done? Like, what does your family think of your jobs and stuff? Because both of the things you're saying are not like pretty standard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like a standard, you're a teacher or you're that or you're this or whatever.
Yeah, it's interesting. My dad, I think he's had to come to a point of like really approving, not approving, but like really understanding what I actually do.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of it is ambiguous when I say like I work with college students. It's like, what does that look like?
It's hard to describe.
You know, like, well, I'm hanging out with him in the middle of the day and then we have events at night. So it's like, it's not a 9 to 5, but it's like a 11 to midnight kind of thing.
Question
which
mark.
Is weird, with like some gaps in the middle.
Yeah.
And so, it's taken a while for just him to come to terms of, oh, this is your job.
And what did he do growing up?
He is a project manager for like an electric company.
Okay.
And so he travels a lot to like different projects and make sure they're doing it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because growing up, he was an engineer and going to school. And when I would ask like, oh, what is, I would ask my mom, like, what does his dad do? She like simpled it to like, oh, he's just drawing lines. And so like, I'm like, oh, that's interesting.
My dad's got a weird job.
My dad's getting paid to draw lines. I wonder if I could do that.
Yeah, that seems pretty sweet.
But like thinking like, oh, plans and stuff like that. It's like the lines actually mean
very important lines, very specific lines.
Yeah. And so, and then my mom was a teacher, but once she had me and my sister, she just stayed at
was
home.
Was a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah.
And you just have one sister, correct? And she...
Older. Yeah,
older. Still lives back north-ish?
Yeah. So she moved back home when my mom passed away. She moved back in with my dad to kind of...
Does she still live there?
Yeah.
She's not married, kids, anything? She's older or younger?
She's older.
She's older. Okay.
So she's like 36.
She's
you know?
Like, wow,
if I'm 32, you know,
old.
She's 36.
Wow. You guys got to get your shit together.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really funny.
We just let it go.
Yeah. Well, I'm very bad at it. That's my fault.
It's okay. It's funny because when you're young, you want to seem like you're older. But when you get older, you're like, I'm not that old.
Yeah. I don't think of when people ask how old I am, I don't think to say 24.
Yeah.
I'm like, ugh. It feels weird. Because I just started a new job. I work at Starbucks now.
That's right.
Going to school. I'm working there because I help pay for school. And everyone I work with, for the most part, there was this girl that I work with that I could have sworn was 29, and she's like, I just turned 23. I'm like, oh, I am older than every person that I worked with so far. Like, they're all older than me, or they're all younger than me. Like, yeah, I'm turning 21 next week. Can't wait. I'm like, cool, oh, bro. Yeah. I'm married for 2 years, and I'm trying to go back to college, and I'm on the same level as you.
Hey, you know?
Just got a different timeline. Just got a different timeline, but I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
I never like doing things normal way anyway.
No, it's just too boring. I do think 18, even 17, I went to college 17.
Really? Did you graduate high school earlier? Or were you just kind of younger?
No, I graduated at 17 literally 2 days after I turned 18. So
gotcha.
I think it's just we're too young.
It's
like
very stupid.
It's too young to start school like that. And I mean, maybe there's history or evidence.
No, proof. It's all friggin' scam.
But I'm like, I was a lost person.
Oh, yeah. You're putting way too much pressure on a person that has never made any kind of drastic decision in their life for the most dramatic, expensive decision that they could possibly make, not being really prepped in any way.
Yeah.
Like, I went to a high school, like a middle class high school, where it was just like everyone just goes to school. Like, let's go to school, go to college. Not really saying what you're supposed to do with it. Just go. Like, you're supposed to go. That's what you're supposed to do. Yeah. And I went, and I'm like, why am I here? And I wasted a bunch of money. I was able to not even waste that much money, but I still wasted a year of. I want to not say wasted, because some people say like it was. It honestly wasn't that fun. Like, I lived with my friends and screwed around. But I didn't learn a lot. I didn't really get much done. I'm like, I would have been better to just take the year off and travel or just work or whatever. I just don't think it was a good decision to make.
Yeah, I mean, I took an extra year in college.
I mean, 30% of people actually graduate in 4 years. And it's like 50 actually graduate in 5. Like, what do you expect? It's all It's all about money. It's what it comes down to. Money. We can do a whole nother episode on that. Which is funny because I did an episode about why college is stupid and now I'm going to college. So maybe I'm just a hypocrite. Or I'm at a different point in life now.
I think it might be a different point.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, it's true. It's weird being 24. I never thought I'd be this old. I think about being 30 all the time and it scares the shit out of me. I'm like, that seems impossible. Like, I can't actually be that old. Like, it's way weird. Isn't that weird?
I can't be that old. I've always said I don't want to live to be very old.
I say that too. Megan does not like when I start talking about that.
65, 70.
I'm like, let's stop it at 68. 70 seems like too much.
No, because it's like, if I'm not living to 100, then it's not
worth it. But I know, like, 80, like, both of Megan's grandparents are healthy and, like, 78 and active. And, like, they're in great shape. I'm like, if I'm that, then yeah. That makes sense. That's true. But I also know, like, 70-year-old people and older that, like, are not active, are not in good shape.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. It's weird. It's weird.
We'll see. I think it's different if you have kids and then you start having grandkids. It's like, oh, I want to be
there
for them.
I want to be there for blah, 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 blah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's just weird being old, man. I mean, one of the main reasons I wanted to have you on the podcast was we were talking earlier, we were just chatting. I mean, we were hanging out in the pool. It was really hot. And talking about how, like, I basically, well, it's about to get real dark. Not dark. It's just an interesting topic because a lot of stuff is on my mind. Since I'm 24, when I was 20, right after I got married, 2016, I grew up basically with three sets of grandparents, huge family, tons of cousins, aunts, uncles. My dad's side small, my mom's side huge. Everybody healthy, everybody alive, all my grandparents. Never knew any of my great-grandparents, but I never had a relationship, so it didn't really matter. And everyone was healthy and fine and got married. And a month later, my family dog died, which happens. Dogs get old, dogs get sick, but it really sucked because we'd known Chase for a long time. And I have, at that time, I had a 10-year-old brother that, well, now he's 12, 10-year-old brother that, like, was dealing with death for the first time in his life. And he was 10, and I was 22. I had had another dog die, but this was like the first actual death that I'd really known. Yeah. Flash forward later that year or the year after? Later that year, I have a grandma that was pretty sick at her wedding, just been sick for a long time, fighting it to the death, literally passed away. So there's the first human that I've known that died. And I was in the room when she died, which was really scary. Never seen it before. And everyone that was there that had been around someone that died was like, this is not how it normally goes. Because she was literally, how do I explain it? I got there. I knew she was sick. Got there. She was unconscious at like 5 p.m. Was there till 5 a.m. fighting literally every breath until she died. And almost comical now. There was a point where we're like, oh no, she died. And the nurse comes in and goes, nah, she's still going.
She's a fighter.
Then
she's
an hour, like 30 minutes or an hour later, she finally died. And it was like, oh my gosh, intense.
Totally.
Flash forward 4 months, my dad's dad in his 80s gets sick, dies. Yeah. Now two people die. And then it's just been shitty. And we find out my mom's mom was sick. And then we got really good news that she was fine. This is within the past couple months. And you were with me the same day we found out that my grandma was good. And it's like, awesome. Yeah. We were out. We were with friends. We were having drinks. We were doing just hanging out. And me and my wife, Megan, we were there. And we get a phone. We went and grabbed another beer. And Megan comes back. When I come back, Megan's like, hey, your dad tried to call you. And then he tried to call me, but I didn't answer because I didn't know what he was talking about. So I walk away and I talk on the phone with them. And I pick up and I'm like, oh shit, my grandma died. That's exactly what I thought because that's what was going on. We thought it was good news, whatever. He goes, hey, I don't know how to tell you this. Your cousin just fell over, had a heart attack. We don't know if she's alive or not. Keep in mind, she's 20 years old. We don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what to tell you. Your mom is with your aunt right now. I'll keep you updated as much as I can, but I'm sorry I have to tell you, but this is just what it is. Because they're 3 hours behind, so it was like 11, maybe like 10:30, 11 o'clock. Maybe not even that late. It might have been like 10 o'clock. And it just hits me. I'm like, what the hell just happened? And I like kind of collapse a little bit. I start freaking out. I'm pacing up and down the stairs. I'm crying. I walk away, walk around the block for a little bit because we were on like a rooftop bar thing. I was probably gone, I don't know, you were there, 20 minutes?
We were gone a little, yeah.
Maybe that longer? Any idea?
I would say even 15. I think maybe only like 15.
It felt like a very long time. I come back and I'm trying to just sit and be like, everything's fine. We're having drinks because I didn't even get to drink the beer that I had. I kind of chugged it because I was in a moment. Then I text my dad, hear anything? And he gives me a call 2 minutes later, like, I'm really sorry. I don't know what to tell you, but McKenna passed away. And it was just like, oh, shit. And I collapse like outside at a bar and just couldn't get myself together. And I was with you, who I kind of knew, and with two other girls that I barely knew, and my wife, and we were in public, and it was just like, what am I supposed to do now? Because it was completely unexpected. I'd seen her the week before because we came back to Ohio for something. So long story short, I went from a life of never dealing with death to gradually it's coming. Like it feels like it's a dog. It's a sick grandparent. It's a not a sick grandparent. It's a completely unexpected cousin. Flash forward a little bit more. We find out my grandma's not even that good of health anymore. So the grandma that was sick probably doesn't have that much longer. And I've dealt with a lot of emotions of freaked out by death. My grandpa, he was older. It made more sense. Kind of okay with that. My grandma was really sick, so I was happy to see her go. My cousin was a slap in the face, punched in the gut of, there's no explanation here. That's the closest person, like, most out of nowhere, most, like, tragedy that I've ever dealt with.
Because that family on that side, you say?
Very close, like I was saying. Very close, very huge. Like, she has 4 siblings. She has probably 30 of her own cousins, because everybody in that family has a million babies. So it's a giant, massive
water
family.
Water in Ohio, man.
Exactly, in Ohio, that's all we got going on. We got a water park and babies.
Not related at all.
Not related. Well,
babies
I don't
are not
know.
Being conceived at water
I parks. Hope not.
Hopefully not.
And then talking to you, you took us to the airport the night that we were going to fly back for the funeral. You kind of mentioned that your mom had passed away, and I didn't really know that.
No.
And I'm like, you seem like a normal functioning person. Like, how do you get through something like that? So as fun as it is to have a conversation about death being 24, 25, like, how do we keep going? Because we were talking earlier, like, part of you just gets like, who gives a shit about anything anymore? Yeah. Like, hearing that, finding out again after my cousin passed away that my grandma's still sick, I feel almost nothing. I feel pretty much like, cool, like, that's what it's supposed to, like, I'm not surprised. I'm just kind of numb, or just, like, honestly, a little annoyed of, like, really? Can't get a break here? Which is, feels, like, emotionless, or feels kind of rude, but it's like, I don't know how, what else I'm supposed to do. Like, I don't know how I'm supposed to get a break. So I know that's a giant setup of a huge story of nothing, but, like, I guess we could start with your experience of, like, how old were you when your mom passed away?
It's so interesting. I don't even remember what year it was. I remember, I would say maybe 21, 22.
Okay.
I'm turning 26, so it's like, I'm bad with...
4 or 5 years ago?
I'm bad with timelines. But I think
it's all good.
I was young. I was young, and I was getting ready to kind of exit college. Maybe I think it was a year before. I don't know. So my mom, it was unexpected. We were going on a vacation to Walt Disney World. No one would think, you know, just like...
And no one knew anything.
She did have a cold.
Okay.
And she got cleared to go travel. Because she's like, I'm kind of sick. And so it was like a chest cold, whatever. And then flew over, met. I can literally remember moments. And usually I don't remember moments. Like,
Not very good at that.
No, like I could.
I am similar. I am more of a big picture brain. I don't have very specific moments, but I know what you're talking about.
But I think I'm grateful for those moments.
Yes.
Even though I'm not good at them, you know, remembering. So I remember I hugged her at the airport because I flew in from Sacramento. They were flying in from the Bay Area. And so
down here to Disney World or
World. So
Florida, Orlando. Okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
which is so crazy because, yeah, I grew up in a very Disney-loving home. Mm-hmm. They love Disneyland, Disney in general. And so, yeah, it's at everything set up. We're going to the hotel, all that stuff. And
because you weren't living at home, like you were saying. You guys were going home to separate areas.
It was during the winter time. So it was winter break. I finished my semester. And it was planned, like, I was going to fly back to our winter conference for crew and stuff like that because I was leading some part of it. And the night after, or the night we got there, we all woke up. My mom wasn't feeling well. And so her and my dad stayed back at the hotel. And me, my sister, and our family friend went to the parks and we were just enjoying ourselves. And I think from there on, yeah, stuff started hitting the fan. You know, like, I remember me and my sister getting in a fight and just, like, fighting over pity stuff. And remember hearing, like, a call, like, my dad saying, like, oh, your mom was spitting up blood. We took her to the hospital. And so from there on, it was, like, this weird trajectory into this, just this time of, like, the unknown. And so,
yeah.
We went to
I mean, the what's Disney the timeline? Hospital. Was this like a week later? Less than a week?
No, so literally a day.
Oh,
so like,
God.
We flew in, and then the day after. So she actually got the swine flu on the plane. So coming over, that's what made her get even more
really?
Sick.
Really? Oh, wow.
And so got sick in the hospital, coughing up blood. And I remember we visited her that night after going to the parks, and I kind of felt guilty, but like, we didn't think anything of it.
Yeah.
And I remember just the process of like we saw her and that's the last time I saw her speaking and like just
conscious. Like moving. Yeah.
And I remember she kept saying like, I want to go home.
Really?
I want to go home. I was thinking, I want to go home.
Yeah. She wants to be home.
She wants to go to the Bay Area. And I think that's what she was talking about.
Yeah.
But she kept saying like she was, it's just hard to see someone that you do love and all strapped up,
yeah,
and like all that stuff they put in you.
Because they don't look like them, really. I mean, part of you, it's weird, like reality. It's disconnect of like. But this is like because I was at a funeral a month ago, and it's like this is McKenna, but that's not her though. Yeah. Like that's not her. This is weird.
Yeah, and so that night went back to the hotel, and in the morning, my mom was unconscious. And from there on, it was like a week of sitting in hospitals, spending Christmas in the hospital.
In Florida?
In Florida. Mm. Just sitting and waiting, watching her heartbeat and just making sure that it's going.
Still going, yeah.
And you think, yeah, it's, I haven't talked about this in a while.
So yeah.
It's just like I'm recalling a lot of it. It's a lot of sitting and really dealing with a lot of your selfish desires.
Had any other family came? Does she have family, sisters, brothers, things like that?
Yeah, so she had a sister that passed away when I was not even born. Mm-hmm. And then we have an uncle. And so even that, trying to like correspond with family back at home and friends to be praying for us mm-hmm. and praying for her. But just not knowing, like, should they fly out? Like, we didn't know the severity.
Yeah, you didn't know, like, if they fly out and she's fine or if they book a ticket and she don't make it. Like, what's...
Exactly. Yeah. And I think her not making it was on the way back of our mind.
You didn't really
But
think
we
that.
Were even just getting... There was this hope that we were holding on to of, like, okay, we'll just get an apartment out here. And, like, if she has to go to rehab, we'll just do it in Florida because she can't fly.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Whatever mm-hmm. needs to happen, we'll make it happen.
But it wasn't... You don't think... It was, well, she might die.
No. And you think doctors have a responsibility of, like, not just letting all the gates open so you just, you know. But they also were communicating a lot of options and a lot of truth to us. And I vividly remember just, like, selfishly saying, like, I don't want to be here in this hospital anymore. I don't want to have to do this. Like, why do we have to, like, asking God, like, why... Why do I want to celebrate Christmas when I'm in the hospital watching my mom just lay there, you know? Yeah. And I think for so long, it was like a slow declining thing of like, one thing after another, water in her lungs.
I mean, not that slow, though. I mean, you said you a week before you were in Disney World.
True.
You were planning on going to Disney World. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and the thing is, we were in the hospital in the Disney World kind of like...
the happiest area. Place on earth.
Yeah, and so it's like this weird reality of like, oh, everywhere you look, this is happiness, vacation.
Yeah.
But like you're in the middle dealing with some real
the shittiest
stuff.
Thing you've ever dealt with. Yeah.
And yeah, I think I just got used to walking back and forth, walking that hallway, seeing the same nurses and like asking them and being that annoying patient. Just not knowing what was going to happen. And I think this is like the realest moment that happened. Like praying to God of like, why are you doing this? Like wrestling with that early on. I don't deserve this, very selfishly.
Yeah.
And I think as reality starting to hit of like, oh, this could potentially be a thing of like her end of her life. I don't know what compelled me. Maybe it was the Holy Spirit to pray this, but, I prayed like, I realized like my mom does not belong to me. And if she's in pain, that God should just take her home.
Yeah.
And I think I remember praying that vividly of like, God, she ultimately belongs to you. And if you want to take her home, you have that right. And later that day, I don't even know if it was morning or night, vividly remember, which I really don't usually, like we weren't allowed to go into the room. And that's when I started feeling angry of like, you can't like,
yeah,
I
you can't do that to
my mom for the last time or like, what is going on?
Yeah.
And
like, how dare you do that? Like literally, this is my mom. Yeah.
Yeah. Seeing what happens in the movies of like, we're all in the room. The doctor comes in and he lays it on us.
So you weren't in the room when she passed
no.
away. Okay.
We were all kind of in this waiting room.
Gotcha.
That we've been finding it as our home, you know,
yeah, like, that you spent the last weekend.
Yeah. And the gut punching, like you were saying, there was the feeling of like this isn't real. This isn't real. Crying. I've never like sat and like not know what to feel. Cause it's like anger, sadness. Is this even reality? Are we being punked? Like
those, it's a dream.
Those
like,
things
yeah.
like actually going through my mind. And so that was a crazy thing. Flew back to Sacramento.
How long after the fact?
Literally the day after.
Oh,
We all parted our ways and I had the choice to go to winter session for school or go home. And I chose to do winter session
because
I felt like I needed to do something to get my mind off. But I think looking back, it was probably not the smartest.
Really?
Just being away from family, numbing a lot of my feelings, being an majority empty home. Because I lived with 8 guys at the time.
Yeah.
6 guys. And so a lot of them were home for winter break. And so it's like, I'm alone. And
yeah.
So,
kind of separate yourself from everything.
Yeah.
And you don't necessarily think that was great? Wasn't healthy or not healthy?
It was not healthy, healthy in certain ways. I didn't even know what to do because I've never dealt with something.
Yeah, you've never had to make a decision.
And it's funny. It's not funny, but it's like I was, like my job, I talk to people about stuff in their life, but I'm not usually the one talking to people in my life.
You're not on the other end. Yeah.
And so it's like, I pursued a counselor right after it happened. And I think where my unhealth was, is like, take these feelings away. I want to stop feeling this. I don't want to cry anymore. I want purpose in life and not see that like, this is all taken away.
Yeah.
And I had unhealthy expectations because I stopped going because it was like, you're not working.
You didn't fix it. Yeah.
You're not fixing anything. And so, yeah, even me thinking like, oh, I know how to fix this. This is what I usually do. Did not work.
Yeah.
You know?
It's unknown territory.
Yeah. And so, yeah, since then it's been a journey of like learning to sit in grief, that there's seasons of it. Every year it's another year, but it's also like different things, you know? graduation, it was great to have my family there, but it also felt very empty of, like, my mom wasn't there.
Yeah.
You know?
It's noticeable.
And it's interesting. I shoot weddings on the side. And every moment that brings me back to it is, like, the mother and son dance. And I think those are moments where it's like, I will never get to experience that. Mm-hmm. And that sucks. And I get to capture people that get to do it, you know? And I think I've been wrestling with that of, like, how do I celebrate people that do still have their mothers?
And not hate them.
Yeah.
You don't get to.
Mother's Day, you know? And even going to church on Mother's Day, it's like nothing about bad about what church does, but it's like that whole day is, you know, for so long I ran away from church on those certain days because it's like, this is not
totally understandable.
I can't be here, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's still a process. I don't think it'll ever go away.
Yeah. It's not a fixed thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I was talking to family after my cousin just passed away of, like, hearing some of the language people were talking, like, every day it's going to get better. It's going to be better this month. Like, I don't think it's linear, man. Like, I don't think it is. Like, I think some days it's, I mean, because the saying is, like, it'll get better with time. I think maybe in general, but I don't think it's completely linear. It's not linear. It's not like start real bad and then eventually you'll get down to 1% angry.
And then only way up,
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's like,
it's ups and downs for sure.
It's ups and downs. Like, it'll just hit at times. And it's like, for me, I've not lost a parent. I've lost a grandparent and a cousin at this point. And it's like, it hits me at times. My cousin, like, it, a week ago, like, for some reason, it was a song I heard that I don't know why, has no connection to her. It just really hit me, and I couldn't stop, like, listening to it and stuff. Like, but that's not even my, like, sister or my mom.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know how, or my daughter. I don't know how these people.
Yeah. Are you trying to say something?
Keep going.
Daughter? Excuse me?
No, what do you mean? I'm like, my uncle. What do you mean?
Are you guys pregnant?
God, no. Oh, okay. 40 minutes into a podcast, like, I just dropped that in. No. I'm thinking, like, my uncle, like, his daughter passed away.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
His 20-year-old daughter, like, in front of him. Like, how do you function, man? Like, it is weird to think that there's people walking around every day that have experienced incredible trauma.
On.
And, like, why do we keep going? That's the hard part is, like, because it's... I mean, this is not a primarily Christian podcast, and I'm not even that good at being a Christian. And, like, talking about these things
is, like... I'm a missionary, and I'm not.
And it's like, when my grandma Janet passed away, the really, really sick one that I was in the room when she died, not really certain what she believed.
Yeah.
And it was weird, because there were times where, like, her pastor or the church she went to came in and was like, I'm 100% sure she's this way. And I'm like, I don't know about that. I don't know what she believed.
Yeah.
It got me to the point of, like, what, like... What am I supposed to do here? With something not as obvious as, like,
well,
you know what I mean?
No, yeah, exactly.
I was very angry, upset with what I thought I believed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so incredibly common. I don't even know what to say here. Like, if a person believed this way or that way, like, they're here or they're here. Like, I don't even want to talk about that.
Well,
like,
that's
not helpful, like, for anybody. Or is it even... Like, I don't know. I don't want to get into theological anything.
No, no.
But it, like, was such an intense moment.
When my mom passed, I didn't want to hear, like, it was God's plan. Or
God's,
like,
plan, or now she's in heaven, she's dancing with God.
At that moment,
blah, 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 blah.
Did not want to hear that.
Yeah.
Did not want to hear about God's goodness in this time.
No.
Because I felt like I was robbed, you know? I'm robbed. I was... early 20s, like, I still have a lot of life to live that I don't know what I'm doing, you know, and I have to call. But being, like, 4 to 5 years out, I look back and I do see God's hand in it. And not to get all spiritual, like you were saying, but it's like, I see his hand in it. I see that me and my dad didn't really have the best relationship as a father-son, because I was really close to my mom. But we were forced to, and now we have somewhat of a relationship.
Yeah.
You know, we have that relationship where I call him, you know? And stuff like he is dealing with things differently, but it's like God has placed a group of, like, 10 men, 10 widows in his life where they're getting together and talking about their feelings. Like, that's unheard of.
Not normal for middle-aged men.
No. Like, they're talking about hey, like, this is how I've been impacted. Like, I'm still processing this.
Yeah.
When their kids start having kids, it's like, wow, I really relied on our wives to answer all these questions, you know? Mm-hmm. And so things like that, it's like, huh, this is weird. Like, we didn't ask for this, but it's being used in some way to, like,
yeah,
really see this past, like, ugh, they're gone, you know, as mm-hmm. much as it sucks. But I think it speaks volumes of, like you were saying, your cousin had, like, 2,000
like
people?
That, yeah, like, on
or
my...
a lot of people there.
Yes.
And it's like, okay, yes, these people, their life mattered, you know, and it wasn't gone to waste. Like, to be able to see people speak about my mom and the way she impacted their life, like, mm-hmm. I'm glad I have that now as so young, that knowing that it's like, okay, how can that help me in my trajectory of being an adult in this mm-hmm. world, and how am I being perceived? And it's not like it drives me, but it's like, that was really encouraging. Things that I never knew about my mom, you know, that it came out in that, you mm-hmm. know? And I think there's moments where I felt comforted of knowing where she is and, like, yeah, she is in heaven. And there's weird moments of when at, like, church or at retreats when I'm worshiping, just knowing that, like, I'm worshiping the same God she's worshiping in heaven, and, like, still that connection part of, like, huh, that's kind of a cool thing. Like, it's a holistic thinking of, mm-hmm. It's comforting. I don't know. Yeah. And it, yeah. I don't know if, like, and it, if I didn't have my faith and knowing who God is, like, I don't know where I would be. And I'm not saying that, I couldn't find comfort in other things, but it's, like, really this ultimate higher power that really got me through a lot of things I couldn't answer, of like, I don't know why I feel peace.
Yeah. Yeah.
I shouldn't feel peace.
Mm-hmm. When my cousin died, like, a couple weeks ago, a month ago, whatever, I flew back for the funeral, and I was just mostly just pissed, like, very, very yeah. pissed off. I'm just pissed and angry and not interested in conversation with anybody about anything. Like, not interested in hearing or seeing yeah. the Facebook posts of, like, you're so blah, blah, blah. Like,
yeah.
I just know you're there, and this is what's happening. I was just not into it. I just couldn't. Mm. I didn't want to memorialize and make things about me. I didn't know what to do. Yeah. I didn't have any idea how to react. And when I saw her parents for the first time, like, again, I just am so uncomfortable talking about anything related to spirituality, Christianity yeah. stuff. There is the saying of, like, peace beyond understanding. I'd never actually seen it in person. Yeah. Like, the way I saw them, like, being comfortable and comforted and yeah. like being like, this really sucks, but I'm okay. Like, I'm yeah. gonna be okay. I know she's okay. Whatever that means, I know she's fine. Like, this is good. And like you said, literally 2,000 people came to her funeral yeah. / calling hours. Like, she had in 20 years affected a bunch of lives. So theologically, it doesn't make me feel any more comfortable about what's going on. It's like, I saw a display of love that is unexplainable and not logical.
Yeah.
Not like that easy to. That's not calculated. It was just like, this sucked, but, like, man, I'm glad everyone is here. Like, I'm glad everybody is saying how much they love each other. And yeah. I'm glad that, like, she was able to love as good and be as good as she was for as long as she was. And it's like, and what was really cool was, one of the things that people like to do is when someone dies is they make them a perfect human being. They're no longer have any sins. They've never done anything wrong in their whole entire lives. They're now yeah. an angel. And, like, I didn't feel like that was being forced upon her. It was like, she was a beautiful person.
Yeah.
And that is, like, she was beautiful and yeah. wonderful, and she did this and she did that, and she loved this person, and she wasn't an extraordinary, she wasn't marching on the streets and changing the world, and, like, and, yeah. She was just a regular human being that loved people yeah. and was just living her life, and that's what affected people.
Totally.
And I don't really know what to do about that now.
Yeah.
Sometimes I still think about it, I get kind of pissed. And other times I don't know how to feel, or, like, even, because I'm still removed from it. I don't live in the same state as her anymore. Yeah. I'm not around the family as much. yeah, I don't know what kind of point I'm trying to come to. It's just
I mean, I think.
And one thing I don't want to do is wrap this up and be like, and now we're all good. Let's say a prayer.
Yeah.
Like, that's just not, it's like, yeah, but when my grandma died, or if my other grandma's going to die soon, I'm going to be fucking pissed. Yeah. Like, I'm just going to be upset. Like, or I'm not going to feel anything. Like, it's going to really suck. And like, no, it still is always going to suck, no matter what.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know what to do about that. And people have it a million times worse than me and will continue to. And I honestly feel like when McKenna passed away, one thing that I'm like, I'm not going to wait to tell people how much I care about them until they're gone.
Yeah.
Because I remember her as like my baby cousin. I didn't have a strong relationship with her as she got older.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not doing that anymore. Like, I'm going to reach out and like, I'm going to just be uncomfortable. Yeah. And like, I the day after she died, I have a group chat with a bunch of high school friends. I'm like, I'm just letting you guys know. I love you a lot. I'm going to be really uncomfortable and just like be super mushy. But like, I need you guys to know that. Like, I'm going to be, it's more uncomfortable for me to not do this.
I think that's part of the process.
Yeah.
I think, I loved what you said. It's not a linear thing.
Yeah.
Because even when it's going good, stuff still happens, you know? And I think different things kind of affect you differently. Like, I've had many deaths after my mom, and it's like, wow, another one. Can I just get a break, you know? But that's not how... Like, I think I still have, like, this unhealthy view of a perfect life, and that doesn't involve death, and that doesn't involve things that happen in normal life. A tire blowing up and being ripped off and getting parking tickets in front of my own house.
Two parking tickets in one day.
Know, like things like that where it's like sucky stuff happens. And I think when you talk about your cousin or when you choose those moments to love on people, those make life more unsucky, you know? Cause I literally remember we were as like my immediate family, my uncle and all my cousins, we were there looking through albums for like, a slideshow for my mom's memorial. And I just remember, like, we were still making fun of her, you know? Like, we were making fun of how, like, how funny she was. Or, like, you remember this time? And as we were laughing immediately after just, like, crying. But it's, like, these moments when we get to remember or just, like, live life and not forget, but just, like, really remember who they are instead of them dead, help it less suck.
Yeah.
Or suck less, you know? And I think those are the moments where it's like we choose not to be uncomfortable and bring this up. But I think that's where we kind of go into our own mind of like, dang, they're not here, you know? And I still deal with that on a daily basis of even like moments.
Well, I can't. Well, I'll interrupt. Like, I just randomly was just like, I'm just going to text my mom and say hi. Like, it's hard to imagine a life where I can't do that. And it could, I mean, it could happen right now. I could get a text message right now and say, like, it is just, we're much less in control. See, I'm literally checking my phone. We're much less in control than we think.
Anything?
And how do you deal with that is what it comes down to ultimately.
Well, I love to be in control. But I think, especially working with college students, I know that I'm not in control, you know? And my work part has, like, helps me feed into like personal part of like, you know, there was a nail on the floor and it got my tire. I'm not in control of that. But how am I going to react to this? I'm going to post it on Instagram, maybe get a laugh, some sympathy texts. It's fine. It's funny because other people were more worried for my safety than I was. We were talking about it.
We're talking about it.
I was like, are you okay? Like, are you safe? And it's like, I wouldn't be posting about it on Instagram if I wasn't, but thank you. I'm glad that you think, like, thank you for caring. And so I think in moments where it's like, you know, I've experienced a very close death, and I'm not saying across the board everything is on the same level as that, but it's like you said, taking moments to react differently or love on someone and be uncomfortable and do the culturally abnormal thing makes it less sucky.
Yeah, I mean, I remember talking to Megan about something about that recently of just like how am I going to react better in situations that are completely out of control? Mm. Of like a friend saying they got stuck at an airport and thing like so bad. They were stuck. They were delayed for like 12 hours. Like, ugh, that sucks. And then understandably being upset. And I'm like, what would I, how do I not let that ruin my day? Mm. I mean, this is not exactly the same connection, Jeff. It's just like realizing, like, I talk about that a lot. Like, it makes my wife uncomfortable, yeah, how much I talk about, like, I don't, like we were talking at the very beginning, I don't really expect to live a super long life. I don't know what that means. I don't, I probably lived till I'm 130 now, like, with advancements in technology and stuff. I don't really want, yep, to. But, like, am I doing something today that I would be happy? Or am I around the people I love and talking, mm, to people I love that, like, if I had two more days, I'd be okay with? Like, as awful as that sounds.
Yeah.
And part of it is like, cool, like I'm gonna live every day, but part of it is every time I get a text message from my parents or a missed call, I'm like, oh shit, like that's a feeling I have now. So it is, it's, yeah, both. It is, yeah, sometimes anxiety of like, uh-oh, what am I missing? Like my dad called me the other day when I was, yeah, at work, and I like had a mini like, oh no, I called him, he's, yeah, like, I just wanted to check in. I'm like, dad, like, you gotta send yeah, a follow-up text, so like, hey, everything's fine. Just, yeah, calling to check in, like, because, and that, I can get those feelings.
Yeah.
I had that when my mom first called to tell me that my grandma's sick. I saw the missed call and I'm like, oh, damn it. Something's wrong.
Yeah.
Same way with my dad. Now there's been false alarms afterwards where it's just like, hey, LeBron's on a Laker now.
Oh, gosh. That is something to mourn.
That is something to mourn. It's a whole different podcast. But yes. Yeah. It's just, it's very unknown. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Everything is more unknown than we think. We're much less in control than we think.
And it's all different. Time, I think, even me and my sister and dad, that we are in different spots, you know, and we process differently and it's going to look differently. Mm-hmm. And there's no handbook on what it looks like to grieve.
And when if people try to give you that, it's unfair. And they try to prescribe of the church.
Yeah.
Well, if you just pray and you just know this and follow this 10-step program, you'll be fine. You don't know me.
Don't give me this casserole and backhand tell me how I should be feeling, you know? As much as I'm grateful for people caring, like, I think we all go through different things at different paces.
It just shows how much no one has any idea what they're doing. No. That's what it comes down to. It is people that are not being bad people. They're just like, I literally don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say because I'm dealing with it too. Yeah. Like, I think this is helpful. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I ultimately don't know. Like,
I mean, literally, when we were at the restaurant, it's like, I even experienced death and I don't know what to do or say or not say, you know? But really, just try to love on you guys when we literally just met each other, you know? Mm. And so it's like, I think it's this empathy of like, okay, not necessarily saying what would I want in my situation, but it's like, I don't know. I literally don't know. And I'm not going to try to come in and be like, Hayden, I dealt with this.
Start laying hands on me.
Yeah, let me take care of you, bro. I got you. I'm all-knowing in this area of life. But it's like, no, man. I'm still on my journey. I sound like a hippie. I'm still on my journey right now. So it's a day-by-day thing to go back of like, how do you do this? It's like, I don't even know.
Yeah, I mean, that sums up the point of Croc Talks.
Yeah.
The point of just any kind of, like, that's, I mean, we're all just trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm, like, doing this podcast, because I like talking to people about, like, shit that I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm looking for more of a space where we can just be like, I don't know, let's talk about it, and we're going to be wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, we could listen to this conversation 5 years from now and
be
everyone
like,
we know is dead or nothing happened or whatever, like... I mean, I don't want to be too morbid, I could not be here 2 years from now, and you could hear this conversation. Like, that's weird. So it's just like, I don't know. Let's figure it out, man. Let's try our best. That's what it ultimately comes down to.
But I think it's like I'm excited to do life alongside you to live out as much as we can, you know?
Mm.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you probably think about that with, like, Megan. It's like...
I think about it all the time. Every time she flies, I get terrified.
Yeah.
Every time I don't hear from her, because she's been gone for 7 days. If I don't hear from her for a couple hours, it's hard for my brain is always going. There's always a little bit of worry.
Mm.
Like if I don't get a text message back after. And that's part of me just being an idiot and being anxious. But like, I mean, anything's possible. So it's just scary.
Grover was coughing up a lunger. Yeah, like, you're like, no, are you okay? Grover!
No! You ate the plastic.
Why'd you eat the aluminum foil?
Don't worry. They take very good care
of
their
cats.
Don't.
He's just a dumb idiot. He's just a dumb fat cat. It's his fault. He's laying on the ground sleeping. Well, on a very much lighter note, I want to start wrapping up the podcast like this. What is your opinion of Crocs? So this is a legitimate Croc talk. So we have at least a minute or two of Croc talks. What do you think of Crocs?
I've owned Crocs before.
Okay.
I've gone through a season of thinking they're ugly and stupid, but they are super comfortable. This is my own opinion. I can never wear Crocs because I have sweaty feet. Mm. And so in that little containment, I get swampy feet for sure with Crocs.
For sure.
But if Virgil with Off-White comes out with some Off-White Crocs, I will
Crocs.
Be, yes, I see it happening.
I'm not,
you
that
see
will
dad
happen.
Shoes come out? Come on.
I saw, there's a basketball player I follow on Instagram the other day that posted a picture of him wearing Crocs. I'm like,
bro,
it's happening.
It's happening. And it's the a thing.
Movement.
It's like, it's so bad that it's good.
Everything's ironic now. So, like, it will happen.
I think so. So, I'm saying it now. I'm selective with what kind of Crocs I will wear.
That's fair.
But my feet just can't do it.
It's hard, man. They do, especially just bad. Like, here's the thing. There's nothing worse of a look than socks and Crocs.
Oh, see, that's the
There's
thing.
There's nothing
yeah.
more comfortable than socks and Crocs. This is a terrible look, but man, it is so comfy.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of fashion, it's uncomfortable, so.
Yeah.
Beauty's How do pain, we do but, that?
I don't know, man. We also just be wearing socks and Crocs all the
it's
time.
True. But are you someone that likes Croc sandals?
I've never owned anything but original Crocs.
Original Crocs, though.
I'm pretty. My dad has some like loafer looking Crocs things.
Yeah.
I don't buy into that. I'm a purist. Yeah. I'm a Crocs purist. I want classic or nothing.
Yeah.
Well, I did have a fur lined pair for the winter.
Dude, for the winter.
Well, Sky would wake up early for work. I'd slide on my socks, my fur lined things, and then I'd put on my work boots when I get to work. So
that's funny. Yeah, I used to be a very big hater though. So
it's fair. On a scale of 1 to 10, what do you rate Crocs? Well, you don't have to explain any more than that. I'm gonna make everyone rate it as well. With no, you can't explain it.
I can't
you give a number.
It?
That's
oh
it.
Oh my gosh! I'm gonna say 6.
That's fair. That's a good. I would not even say a 10. I just think they're hilarious.
Have you seen those? It's like a phone holder. It's like a croc around your neck.
No.
And you put your phone in the croc.
No, I have not. That's awful.
Oh, the franchise, man. It's
hell yeah. Bad. The ultimate goal with this is to get a sponsor by Croc and then retire and never do a podcast.
There you go.
Thanks for listening to another Croc Talks episode this week. I'm going to try real hard to keep it every 2 weeks again. I think I may have got through a little bit of the shitty stuff over the last couple months, but I am going to be really busy with school and work, so I'll try my best. I'll try to keep everybody in the loop. The best way to stay in the loop is on Instagram. That's my number one thing. Maybe Facebook, maybe Twitter, but I'm not really good at those ones, but Instagram is the way to do it. This new outro song is in honor of Croc Talks returning after a month-long absence. This is Return of the Mac by Mark Morrison. What a great song. Just enjoy it as this outro plays out. We'll be back in hopefully 2 weeks, and I can't wait to share more episodes with you.
Peace!